Okay, Philippians chapter 1. Tonight we'll be on verse 11. Anyone want to volunteer to pray? Read for me? Ben and Elijah. Ben, read 1 through 6. Elijah, 7 through 11. Please, go ahead.
Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long for you, for you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God.
All right, thank you. Okay, so we're just finishing up this little section of 9 through 11, and we've talked about that how Paul's prayer for the saints there in Philippi, and for all Christians for that matter, that our love would still abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And a knowledge of how we are to love was found in God's holy word, right? How much we are supposed to love God. And who can tell me how much we're supposed to love God? Someone raise your hand. Okay, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And then love our neighbor as ourselves. And we read of a lot of examples of how we're to love God and each other. And so that's how we're supposed to do that. Verse 10, that you may approve last week, that you approve, test, try the things that are excellent. Remember? And that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. Without offense doesn't mean you're not going to mess up, but we are striving to be just like Christ, right? We don't want to sin. That is our goal, to be like Him. We will sin. We do sin, but we are forgiven, right? But our goal is to strive to be like Him, to try not to sin, right? That's what we want. We don't want to offend our God. We don't want to sin against our God. He has set His love upon us. He has forgiven us. And so if we really love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we don't want to sin against Him, right? We don't want to offend our God. Now we do. We do mess up, don't we? And so we are forgiven. Praise be to God. So verse 11 then, just keeping right with the flow of 9 through 11, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. As Christians, we look forward to the day of Christ. Amen? Do we look forward to that day? I know I do, and we should all look forward to that day when Christ returns and takes us home, and we don't have to live in this world of sin and live in these bodies of sin no longer. So as Christians, we anticipate, we are watching for that day when the work that He began on earth in us is perfected, is completed. But while here on earth, we strive to be like Jesus, which leads us to what Paul is saying here in verse 11. After he wrote that our love should abound more and more in all knowledge and discernment, and then verse 10, that we would approve the things that are excellent and being sincere till the day of Christ. So are we approving the things that are excellent, and are we being sincere without offense till the day of Christ? And now Paul writes, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. First of all, the word filled here means to supply abundantly with something. It means to supply abundantly with something. So what is it that we're supplying abundantly with? Well, with the fruits of righteousness. And here it is clear that we are to impart richly. So richly impart the fruits of righteousness. Well, what are the fruits of righteousness? It's actually, fruit should be singular here, so fruit of righteousness. Calvin writes this, he says, "This now belongs to the outward life, for a good conscience produces its fruits by means of works." I'll read that one more time. "This now belongs to the outward life, for a good conscience produces its fruits by means of works." And remember, our conscience is very important, isn't it? And for those of you who were at camp a couple weeks ago, we got that message about our conscience, right? And that convictions flow through that conscience. And our convictions should be filled with the Word of God, right? If our convictions are not that good, our morals are not going to be that good. So what's flowing through the conscience is not going to be that good, right? So our conscience is like the tube or the inner duct. Conviction flowing through it. Convictions must be filled with the Word of God. Okay? So that's what he's saying here. He's saying, for a good conscience produces its fruits by means of works. Another commentator writes this. He adds a little bit to that. Calvin said the outward life. This commentator says, all inward and outward holiness, all good tempers, words, and works, and that so abundantly that may be filled with Him. So he's saying that all part of your life, your inward, your outward, your actions, your words, and even your thoughts, he's saying here. This is not talking about the fruit of the Spirit here. Although as Christians we are to have possessed these things, right? If the Spirit dwells inside of us, He abides in us, those fruits should be flowing from us, right? And you all remember those from Julianne's wearing the shirt there from Adventurous Camp. So this is not talking about the fruit of the Spirit here, but of works. And that Christians are not only called to bear fruit, but we are called to be fruitful. There's a difference there. We're not called to, although we are called to bear fruit, Christians are also called to be fruitful as we go. That's a part of being a Christian. To be fruitful in everything that we do. When you wake up and you're getting ready for your day, whether you're getting ready for school, getting ready for work, whatever it might be, getting ready for church, sometimes people are real, you know, kind of cranky, right, in the morning. But we're to be fruitful in everything that we do. Okay? So, do good works cause righteousness? That's a question that I have for you guys. Do good works cause righteousness? I'm seeing Elijah shake his head. No. Anyone else want to take a guess? No. Anyone want to say yes? No yeses. That's good. That's good. Okay. Good works do not cause righteousness. That would be earning something. And as falling beings that we are, we cannot earn anything from God. We cannot earn salvation from God. Even if we had 100 lifetimes to live over, we cannot buy salvation from God. We cannot buy righteousness from God. We can't earn these things. Okay? So, do good works cause righteousness? No. Now, some are deceived in thinking that their good works are the cause of righteousness. And even the cause of salvation. But listen to this comment here from the 1599 Geneva Bible Notes. If righteousness is the tree, and good works the fruits, then many are truly deceived indeed when they say that works are the cause of righteousness. I'll read that one more time, and I'll just explain it a little more. And this is from 1599. If righteousness is the tree, okay, picture a tree or branch, a tree. If righteousness is the tree and good works are the fruits, then many are truly deceived indeed when they say that works are the cause of righteousness. Okay, so turn to John chapter 15 with me. Everyone there? John chapter 15. Okay, anyone know who this is talking here? Okay, very good. This is Jesus talking here. These are his words. Some of you, mine actually doesn't have the red letters. Who has red letter Bibles? A few of you knew. Okay. So you guys knew that. Come on. All right, John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Getting back to the commentary from the Geneva Bible Notes, it says, if righteousness is the tree or the vine, you could replace for tree, who would be the righteousness here? Christ, okay? Christ being righteous, right? Okay? And if the fruit is the works, then we are the branch. And so let's again listen to what he's saying here. He's saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If a branch is not producing fruit, it's gone. He's taking it away. Okay. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now that's a good thing there. Because that shows right there that God is working on the branches that are bearing fruit. And he's pruning it, so why? That it can bear more fruit. This reminds us of a few verses back in Philippians that he who began a good work in you will what? Perfect it, will complete it. If God began a good work in you, he will complete it, he will perfect it. That's what he's doing right here. You see, because we are the branches. And there are some branches who are not producing fruit, and they are cut off. And as we read in verse 6, they are going to be thrown into the fire. Any branches want to be thrown in the fire here? Hopefully not. But the ones that are bearing fruit because God started that work, He is pruning these branches. He's molding them and shaping them, and more fruit is flowing. That fruit is good works. See, we're not doing good works and God says, wow, look at that person down there. He's really doing a lot of good things, and man, he's sure, I owe him something. That's not what's taking place here. It's God who called us. It's God who initiated salvation in us. And now here, he's working on us so that we can do good works because he's doing the work in us. He's producing the righteousness. He's producing the sanctification in our lives. He continues. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoke to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. What did it say there? Can a branch bear fruit by itself? Absolutely not. Unless it abides in the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus. How does a Christian bear fruit? By abiding in Jesus. How are we to be filled with the fruits of righteousness? Abiding in Jesus, who is righteous. You see where it's going here? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Christ is saying here, without me, you can do nothing. You cannot do these fruits of righteousness. It's not in you. So now go ahead and turn back then. So what about the unsaved people? What about people who are not Christians and it appears as if they're doing good works? Right? Tomorrow, some of you are going down to a shelter that provides food for the homeless. Not everyone who goes there is a Christian, but they want to go and help and serve. There are many who donate to charities out there, donate hundreds and thousands and some even millions of dollars to charities. Aren't there? So what about these people who are doing these good works? Well, I'll give you an illustration of a child, okay? He's out playing outside and, you know, it had rained real bad, you know, and there's some mud. There's some mud puddles out there. And this child, this boy, boys like to get dirty, right? It's a lot of fun. This little boy falls in the puddle of mud, okay? So he's just really muddy now, all over. Knowing that mom is going to be mad, he knows he's going to be busted, right? He wants to do something good to earn favor with his mom because he's going to come in all dirty. So he thinks, I'll just go do practice my piano without having to be told. So he walks in the house, tracking in mud, practices piano, mud all over the piano, all over the chair. Now I'm going to go clean my room. All those toys I didn't clean up, I'm going to go clean them up. Walks upstairs, mud all over the stairs, mud all over his toys. Cleans his bed. Now there's mud all over the sheets and blankets. Right? But he's doing a good thing, isn't he? He's doing a good thing, right? But the point is, even though he's doing these good things, there's mud all over. It's dirty. That's the same thing here. In the same way, the unsaved person must be washed of sin in Christ's blood before he can even begin to produce the good works that God the Father has ordained for every Christian. There's plenty of non-Christians who do good works, but it's got mud all over them. They themselves need to be cleansed with Christ's blood. And this is why the verse says, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. It is Him, which are by Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ. And again, Calvin adds this. He says, we are wild and useless olive trees till we are grafted into Christ, who by His living root makes us fruit-bearing branches. We can't do anything good. It may appear to be good in man's eyes, in fallen man's eyes, but again, it's got that mud all over it. It means nothing. It's by Christ who we must abide in and come to and be cleansed by His blood. And then, out of our love for God, what naturally comes out of the Christian is to do good works, to do good things for people and for whoever, for the body of Christ and even for the homeless people. You see, we're not going tomorrow to feed them to so that people will say, man, what a good person. Right? You're not going tomorrow to pat yourself on the back or to earn anything. You want to go and feed the homeless because you love God and you want to serve and you want to help. You want to buy a person a coat who doesn't have a coat because you love God. Right? That's why a Christian does good works, and that's why his works are good in God's eyes, because they come from Him. And that's what a Christian does. I want to read another little good illustration here. from Boyce's book here. When Lawrence of Arabia was in Paris after World War I with some of his Arab friends, he took some time to show them the sights of the city. And I'm going to probably mispronounce some of these. The Louvre, the Arc of Triumph, Napoleon's tomb, the Champs Elysees, They found little interest in these things, his Arab friends. The thing that really interested them was the faucet in the bathtub of their hotel room. So here he is, he's showing them all these neat sights, right? And they're interested about the faucet in the hotel room. Okay? They spent much time there turning it on and off. They thought it was wonderful. All they had to do was turn the handle and they could get all the water they wanted. Sometime later, when they were ready to leave Paris and return to the east, Lawrence found them in the bathroom trying to detach the faucet. You see, they said, it's very dry in Arabia. What we need are faucets. If we have them, we will have all the water we want. Lawrence had to explain that the effectiveness of the faucets did not lie in themselves, but in the immense system of waterworks to which they were attached to. He had to point out that behind this lay the rain and snowfall on the Alps. Many people are living lives that are as dry as the deserts of Arabia. They have the faucets, but there is no connection to the pipeline. They must come to God through Christ. Other people are also parched, but they are parched for another reason. They are impurities that choke the lines. You are a Christian, but your life is unhappy, and you need God's cleansing. You must come to Christ for cleansing. You must seek His way, and He will make you fruitful. You see, they were just still trying to take the faucets, but what are the faucets going to do? They're going to take them back to the desert and, oh, wait a minute here, why isn't it working? And so what's the pipeline behind the Christian's life? Where should the good works flow from but through Christ living in you? This will involve a more faithful study of the Bible, for it is through the Bible that you will know Jesus more. See, like I've been saying over and over and over, it always comes back to the Word of God, doesn't it? And so if this is saying here, that being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ, how do I know that? How do I know what I need to do? Through His Word. I read about Jesus Christ right here, don't I? I read right here in my Bible that He lived a perfect life, didn't He? I read right here in my Bible that says, be like Christ. Imitate Christ. Later on in chapter 2, have the same mindset of Christ. That is knowledge, guys. We got to be reading our Bibles. We have to be reading our Bibles. He came, lived a sinless, perfect life, didn't He? Remember at camp, one of the lessons that we learned a couple weeks ago, right? Christ came to this earth and He experienced every single temptation that we experience. When we're a little toddler, He faced the same temptations. Little older as a kid, He faced the same temptations. As a teenager, the same temptations. As a young adult, an adult, He experienced the same temptations. The difference is, He went through all those temptations without sin. And this is why Paul writes, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. It is our duty, it is our responsibility to imitate Him, to be like Him, attach ourselves to Him, let Him be our pipeline. So that then we go through this life loving God with everything that we are, loving our Savior Jesus Christ, and doing good works because of our love for God. Because of our love for our Savior. And we read of Him doing good works, right? So do we do the good works to earn righteousness, or we do good works because Christ who lives in us is righteous? And because we are His, because God is pruning us and working on us, sanctifying us, the good works flow naturally. Because before salvation, there might be good works that are flowing, but again, remember the little boy full of mud? Those good works are tainted, aren't they? They're tainted. Psalms 1:1-3 says this: Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. How do we do good works? Because we're abiding in this. We're abiding in Christ. What's that saying there about blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked? Don't do what the evil do in the dark. But he's saying, but the blessed man's life, he delights in the law of the Lord. Do you delight in this? Do you delight in this? Do you want to meditate upon it? When you do so and you read all about what Christ has done, who He is, then you're like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. That's where the good works come from. And so Paul is writing here. He's writing to these saints. And remember, put yourself in their shoes. You're a saint in Philippi. And your beloved Apostle Paul is writing this letter to you. And you're reading it. And in verse 9 it says, this is my prayer. And so here you are. It's being read to you. Or you have the letter. And it's the Apostle Paul's pen right here. And you're reading this. Paul's prayer is this: that your love may abound still more and more in all knowledge and discernment. And you're reading and thinking, Paul, my pastor, Paul, who is in prison, he's thinking about it, and this, he's praying this for me, that my love will abound more and more in knowledge and in discernment. And then he says, that you may approve the things that are excellent. You're reading this. Am I? Paul wants me to approve the things that are excellent. And he wants me to be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Am I doing that? Am I approving the things that are excellent, that have spiritual value for me, that are good for me spiritually? Am I sincere in my walk with God? Or am I a hypocrite? Am I true? Am I really sincere? And do I strive to be without offense till the day of Christ? And then verse 11, I'm still reading this from Paul. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Am I doing good things? And why am I doing them? Oh, it's because it's through Jesus Christ. I need to attach myself to Jesus Christ. He is the vine. He is the tree. Abide in Him and the fruit will come. This is what Paul is telling me I need to do. And so what do? When you read this letter here, when you read these three verses, do you know that you need to love? That your love needs to abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment? And you need to be approved of the things that are excellent? And you need to be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ? And being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ. Not through yourself, right? Is that what he says there? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through you. No. Which are through Jesus Christ. And then what does he add there at the end? To the glory and praise of God. God always gets the glory. And that's the way it should be. God gets the glory in everything. What's the verse? That they will see our good deeds and what? Glorify our God in heaven. So you go through life as a Christian, meditating upon His Word. It's your delight. You cannot wait till every single day when you get that opportunity, whenever it is, in the morning, afternoon, or night, when you get to sit down and it's just you and your Bible. And it's your delight. Think about when you get to eat a meal, your favorite meal. And it's finally dinner time and mom is cooking up that meal for you or you're going to your favorite restaurant and it's your delight to sit there and eat that, your favorite meal, right? Or your favorite restaurant. Or your favorite Christian band's coming to town, right? And you get to go see them. You worked hard, you bought the ticket, it's your delight to go see your favorite Christian band. Use any illustration you want. But first and foremost, our delight should be in reading this. Right? And so when you read this letter to the saints in Philippi, read it as if it's addressed to you. Because you are a saint too. And so we've just finished this little group here of three verses of 9 through 11. And don't forget these things. Do not forget these things here. Let your love abound in all knowledge. Approve the things that are excellent, that benefit you spiritually. Be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are through who? Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Abide in Him. And when you abide in Christ, guess what? God is working on you. Perfecting you, completing you. And on the day of Christ, the struggles are no more. You are complete.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. And to the glory and praise of God. For He began a good work in us, including the righteousness which He is working in us. He is sanctifying us. That's a process until the day we die. God is sanctifying us as we go. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank You. And I pray that it really would be our delight. If all of us here tonight are Christians, not just say that we're Christians, but if we really are Christ's, that is, we imitate Him, that He is our Lord and Savior, our Master, our King, our Sovereign Ruler, that we are His slaves, then let us be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Let us go through our lives doing these good works because we are attached to You, the vine. And so through us is flowing good works because we are Yours. We are a branch that is permanently attached to You, the righteous, perfect tree. And that indeed is what You are. You are the perfect, sinless, flawless, righteous tree. And if we are truly Yours, then we are attached to You. And God is pruning us and molding us and shaping us so that more fruit is flowing through us. God, and we do these things because of our love for You and because we're connected to You. Let us realize that we don't do these good things and then pat ourselves on the back, but You, to God be the glory. We help someone out, and to God be the glory. Let us not forget this, but we want to do these good things so that God's name is lifted high. That God's name is glorified. This is part of loving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let that sink home with us tonight, we pray, O God. And it's through your Son's name, your perfect Son who went through 33 years of life perfect, sinless. It's through his perfect work, through his life, and through his work on the cross that we pray. Amen.